You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, Kool-Aid drinkers!
We are back, and it is the end of March, March 28th. We're recording this at 8 p.m. at night, and we have a lot to talk about here with the Detroit Lions. Not only the NFL draft and covering the defensive line like we will later, but also some other big news. We're going to hit all that, but before we do, I introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Bob.
Hello there.
Red Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hello.
And then Connor.
Hey.
All right. So, gentlemen, let's get into some big Lions news here. We have a lot to talk about on this episode. The first one is a point that we've had a few arguments in the past about whether we'd like to see them or not, but now it's happening.
Yes.
So, whether you liked it or not, it's happening. The Lions will be on Hard Knocks.
Yes.
This year.
Let's go.
Yes.
So, UJ, why is this a good, why are you so
oh my
giddy
God. Are you
this?
Kidding me? I'm a Lions junkie, and this is like straight line, mainlining freaking Lions, you know? I mean, every day we're looking for tidbits, you know, on our team, and this, you know, in the offseason, it's hard. We're looking for anything to talk about. Man, this is, we're going to get to see them in action, see the behind-the-scenes stuff, see the coaches working, the players' personalities and things. I mean, how could any Lions fan not want to see this? I mean, seriously,
Bob.
Yeah, I'm not too happy about the whole concept of them doing it because I think it's gonna be a distraction. But now that they're doing it, I will definitely watch. But not something I was hoping they would do.
Yeah, Rud Dog. I know you've been wanting them to have it too.
Yeah, I'm really pissed. You know, I'm bummed that they got this because, like, I hate learning more about my favorite team. And, you know, I don't want to know what goes on behind the scenes. No, this is freaking awesome. Are you kidding me? I'm so psyched. We're going to get to see Cam. And this is like the staff. Like, if we had to burn our one chance of doing it this year with Dan Campbell, I'm just so excited to see.
See,
everything
and,
up close.
I'm interested how much behind the scenes we'll actually get to see. Because in the past couple of years, they've really, since like the 1 year, I think J.J. Watt was getting cadenced sort of the Dolphins, like watching Hard Knocks and like in week one, like kind of learn their cadence. They've really trimmed back how much of the football they show because of teams complaining about that kind of advantage. So they go more into like the families and the backstories lately. So I'm curious how much we'll actually get to see. But at least Dan Campbell, well, we'll see. Dan Campbell.
I'm curious what the tone will be from, you know, like if it had been a Patricia Hard Knocks versus like a Campbell Hard Knocks, the tone feels like it'd be much different. So I'm hopeful.
It's gonna
fire us up, you know.
See, Patricia was so close off to the media, you know, we didn't get to see his full genius on display.
Hard Knocks would have
been the way to do that,
right? Well, Big Z, I made some pros and cons list, you know, because I know there's a lot of pros.
Okay.
And cons.
Wow, yeah, very passionate to make a whole list.
I did. Wow. So here's my pro list. All right. You get to see the inner workings of our team. What's awesome. Number two, you get to know the players and their personalities better. I mean, we love our players. We like to get to know them better, right?
And we love personality.
Sweet. Right. Yeah. Number three, we get to watch Dan Campbell from a different perspective. And then we get to watch all these camp battles with the teams fighting for jobs. I mean, you know, on the line, you know, watching some of their reps in practice will be awesome. Plus, I think when they see this new culture here, people other players watching this. It's going to be like an infomercial for wanting to come and play for the Lions because they're going to want to be here. You know, it's going to be awesome. Plus, it helps feed my dependency on Lions news, you know, and my my drug habit. And, you know, that this coaching staff is going to be so much fun to watch. So those are the pros. The cons, it might be a distraction. That's it.
That's the only con.
So, yeah, that's it. That's the only con.
Jared
I can
Goff
think
has
of.
Already gone through it once.
It's the only con I can think of. Can you guys think of another con? I can't.
And Campbell did it with the Dolphins.
Oh, that's right.
Goff has done it too. Well, Goff has done it.
Well, Connor, you'll be happy to know Rod Woods said, if you like Dan Campbell now, you'll love him after he's on.
I always want to know what Rod Woods thinks. Rod Woods is my favorite guy in the Lions organization. That's really good to know. You know, they said they're not going to change the uniforms this year. So strike against Rod Wood for that. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, I think that's a pro. I like the uniforms right now.
Get rid of those pajamas.
I think I
would like to speak the uniforms. The numbers look kind of dumb to me. That's just me.
Yeah, the numbers are my biggest thing, too.
Anyway, sorry.
What's the numbers?
I don't like the font.
The font. Yeah, no. It's just the font. It's a little off.
And the numbers could pop more, but we can do a whole pot on the uniform. I just wanted to get that one point about Rod Wood out there. Anyway.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, I just want to bring up one thing, too. I have a prediction, actually. This goes under predictions.
Prediction.
This is going to be the most watched Hard Knocks ever out of all of them. This is going to be
by me.
This is going to be the number one.
That's
going to be true. You don't
believe me? In our circle, I've never watched will be.
I'm telling you, this is, I'm not just talking about by us. I mean, by fans in general. We're going to have that higher ratings of any Hard Knocks before it. That's my prediction.
Yeah. And guys, won't it be cool when we'll have the Super Bowl season? When we win the Super Bowl, we'll have our training camp documented for that year as well, too. So it'll be like, then imagine like they could come back like when we're doing the Super Bowl push and, you know, further document it, and that'd be like the perfect like videography, like documentary of our season.
I mean, it
all
like
comes together so perfect.
I bet like has someone done the stats on like the most improved team after Hard Knocks? Like, is there a Hard Knocks bump, you know? Or is there a Hard Knocks tractor? Like, I'm very curious about that.
I think the best team to come out of it was like I think the Bengals made the playoffs one year after it. I think that's the best the team has done. No team's won the Super Bowl on it. But I will also say this. The Lions have never been on Hard Knocks, and they've never won a Super Bowl. So maybe the team.
Yeah. That's another John Gruden did it. John Gruden did Hard Knocks, and then he was run out of the league in about a year. So you never know. Could be Campbell's last season.
Not to compare us to the Browns, but the Browns, not even saying it matters as far as their functionality, but like, I feel like their national profile has just gone up so much since they were on there. I feel like they get talked about a lot more. I feel like that's going to raise the Lions.
Well, they have really they invested heavily and actually started winning.
Oh, they're going to lose their progressive.
Well, yeah, but
commercial
we're at that
I don't think Hard Knocks.
They have that guy that's always in the progressive commercial, Baker Mayfield. He's probably going to
be gone. That helps too.
So that's going to hurt their profile.
Baker.
Yeah, I don't think Hard Knocks put them on the spotlight.
I think it helped for sure. I mean, big. It's a national show. People watch it from all around the country. I mean, I'm just saying, people watch it who aren't even, you know, fans of the team that's being covered that year. I'm not saying it makes them suddenly, you know, the top team in the country or something market-wise, but it just raises their profile, and I think that'll help us, the Lions, too.
All right.
Give us a more positive spin in the, you know.
Well, the most positive thing on this, for me, is it'll give us stuff to talk about in the pod.
Yes.
So that's it's a personal thing.
Another pro. Another
Lion. Pro. Yeah. Oh, another pro. Okay. Yeah. Last Uh-oh. One. Last one. Go for it.
Who?
You.
No, that was it. He was saying what I said was another pro.
Bob, he just said
one. Oh, okay.
Too many pros. Yeah. All right. Back.
So that was probably 5 minutes more than I was expecting to go about on Hard Knocks. The Lions. It hasn't even happened yet. It just got announced that we're going to
UJ could do a full hour on this.
I'm so excited about this.
Oh, man.
Can't wait.
I'm psyched.
All right, so there's another bit of big news that Detroit will be hosting the NFL draft in 2024. So next year will be Kansas City, and then following that will be Detroit. They're gonna have the center stage and Campus Martius, which is like right where you see that ice rink usually in the middle of downtown. They're going to have concerts at Ford Field and Caesars Arena. It's going to be a whole event. That'll be pretty cool.
We should head down there, do a little video work. Maybe do a live pod from Detroit.
Love that idea. Absolutely. Well, yeah, our listeners, you know, they can come by and ask us questions. We'll answer them. We'll have some Kool-Aid there. We'll be pouring the Kool-Aid out for everybody too.
Oh yeah,
that'd be good.
Kool-Aid will be flowing.
So pro having draft in Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely, great.
That's good.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I went to the first couple in Chicago, and I'll tell you, it was a great event to be at. It was really fun. A lot of interactive stuff to do, and just a lot of fun. The big screen of the fans just going crazy for their team. You see people in all the different uniforms out there. You know, it's really fun. I mean, jerseys, you know, for their team, and it's just a lot of fun.
It's kind of insane how big the NFL – it's literally people just getting picked to play for a team. They just walk on stage.
Yeah, no other sport has a draft.
Is that a band performing? Is that a concert? It's just really,
to me, that's just proof that NFL is the most popular
around.
Not because nothing else has that kind
of – Well, it helps that college football is really big, too, and the other college sports are not really big.
Yeah, that does help.
Like maybe the NBA draft for the first five picks is exciting, but after that –
To me, the thing though that really launched the NFL was fantasy football. That I think that changed the profile, national profile of the NFL. But that's a whole nother topic. But I think that blew it up big.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt. But I mean, like as far as kind of saying, like college football is so big that we're very aware of who these people are when they're coming into the NFL compared to
true.
Like, definitely not hockey, definitely not baseball, and then NBA, only a few of the top stars. And most of those people don't even know who they are until March Madness, the last 2 years.
You mean, Z, you're not posting your own mock baseball drafts for months on social media?
The live mock baseball draft.
Yeah.
Some to sleep, but go to sleep.
I bet the baseball pod drafts probably aren't doing as well as our NFL pod.
Yeah, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I do not think so. I have one more bit of news before we move on. That is that Jerod Davis, we get back to pronouncing his name, and he is back in Detroit.
Wow.
We have not talked about this since he signed.
I always thought he was Matthew.
The Lions lose him to the Jets for 1 year. They get 6th-round draft pick compensation for him, and now he's back on the team. So it was like, you know, he was hurt all last year anyways with a bum ankle. Apparently he's healthy. That's what they all say in the offseason.
Yeah.
So we pro having Davis back to see him what Dan Campbell and this and Aaron Glenn can
definitely
do with him the second time around in Detroit.
Sure.
I mean, like we always were complaining that he was misused. Now we can see if that's actually true or not. So see what Motor City Dan.
It'll be show the difference between the two coaching staffs. It should very vividly show the difference between the two staffs, assuming he stays healthy. Then.
And it's not a huge investment, so it's not
risky.
Right.
So
yeah.
Can't hurt to take a flyer.
Don't put him in coverage against anybody. My first bit of advice to the
use him as a rusher.
I didn't realize him and Anzalone played together in
college. Yeah, Florida, right?
That was interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
There could be some chemistry there too. I don't know. We'll see. It's just an interesting signing. I don't think
it'll be interesting to see what they can do with him. It's fascinating that he's back this fast.
I'm surprised he even wanted to come back. I mean, the fans didn't really love him towards the end there.
Well, no.
I mean, it's a whole new regime, though. I mean, the whole building's new with people.
Yeah, but
so
how much do you think he really gets of that? How much do you think of those guys actually feel or, like, actually how much, like, enters their awareness, like, I doubt, unless you're maybe.
I don't know. Like Eric Ebron, it definitely got the hit. But other players probably don't care.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's true.
Depends on he's probably excited to play with Jared Goff.
True. Best quarterback in NFC North.
Have the chance.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, gentlemen. So that was all the Lions news I wanted to hit on here. I don't think there's anything else that happened. Kadarius Hodge, I guess, was signed by the Falcons, but. Man, I can't believe another team wants him. So I
can't believe we lost Kadarius.
Congratulations to him.
That's shocking.
But let's go now to the focus of this podcast. That is breaking down some of our favorite defensive line prospects for this 2022 draft. So this is a very interesting position. It's probably a position. Would you call it a position in need?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say so. At least one.
Yes.
One elite one. Yes. We do not have that elite pass rusher. Now, you think maybe Romeo Okwara could be it by the price he's
being
paid?
Well, see, first of all, are we differentiating between D-line and DN, say? Or is this all in the one?
That is a D lineman.
I understand.
You mean edge?
Yeah,
like an edge rusher.
Yeah, I mean we're putting edge in with the defensive line.
An edge would be Thibodeau. A linebacker would be.
I'm just saying for the sake of this conversation,
Kobe Dean.
We're what? Including ends and
if it's someone that's putting their hand down to rush the passer, I consider that D lineman.
Okay, fair enough. Carry on.
So, I mean, this is very fascinating at the top of the draft because the Lions had that number two pick, and a lot of people, at least coming into the draft process, said it's Hutchinson or it's Thibodeau. It'll be one or the other. But I think opinions have changed a little bit over time now. Thibodeau, we don't really have numbers on. He didn't do a combine. Oregon doesn't have their draft or their pro day, sorry, until April 2nd. Also, a big thing happened a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. David Ojabo. Ajabu tore his Achilles at his pro day. Just an absolute killer. And then there's that video circling around where he tore his Achilles and nobody's going to help him. He's just laying there writhing in pain. Well, they all move on to the next drill. Really bizarre video. Just move on. That was really weird.
It was at Michigan. So they're like, walk it off, man. Just
next
go.
Man up. Go, next man up.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that really sucks as he was expected to be a possible like late first round draft pick. And now, maybe he'll fall to us in the sixth round or fifth round.
Well,
maybe not.
Maybe he's that talented.
Probably still going to fourth round.
That's crazy.
I'll take a flyer on him that late.
What about fourth round?
I think about a fourth round.
We're
still not ready to win.
The way people
are
coming back from Achilles now is like, it's kind of the new ACL, like where people used to never come back from, but now you've seen at least a couple recently. It'll be interesting to see Okwara, see if he can come back.
Yeah.
You're still talking about a year of a season where he's just going to be sitting on your roster.
But also, I don't think this is a year where
he could be back. He could be back by the middle of the season based on like new medicine. And
I thought I heard he was going to be for sure like missing his first year. But
not exactly in win now mode yet. So we could theoretically afford that.
I mean, that's true.
He most likely probably would not get to play much this year, though. But
it depends on what's available at that time. But I mean, you're definitely considering a guy like this, falling past the fourth round.
Well, Cowboys did something similar with Jalen Smith, and he was hurt in his senior year, but didn't really pay off for them. But it was a good shot to take because
he was good
awesome
for like a
college.
Year and a half for them.
Yeah, I'm just saying
it's up and down.
Kind of similar situation though, if we were to take him in the draft.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Let's dive in here now to some of the top DN prospects, or D tackle for that matter. So you have Thibodeau and Hutchinson. Yeah. Those are kind of the highest rated on most boards, not all boards. Some, I would say most.
Hutchinson seems to be the one who's everyone.
Right. If Hutchinson's there, are we all in agreement? We want to take him.
Yes.
He's
no brainer.
Cream of the crop here.
No brainer.
So,
and the Jags did say that they're still open to taking out line. Yeah. So I'm hopeful on that. Maybe they're just blowing smoke.
I could see it. They need to protect their quarterback.
That would be perfect for us.
Yeah.
They are paying their left tackle $16 million this year on the franchise tag. Cam Robinson. A lot of people didn't think they were going to do that and they end up doing it. But you only have for 1 year, so they can get their left tackle of the future still in this draft. Potentially.
Yeah.
A
couple of those guys are pretty damn good.
It is possible.
Too.
Yeah. So. You got Evan Neal, Okwara. So,
yeah.
It's not by any means, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they don't take Aiden Hutchinson. But let's say, just like in our mock draft, Aiden Hutchinson is taken number one. Is there a DN that we like at number two?
Yes.
I think there's. Few options.
Yes.
Is Thibodeau one of those options for you guys?
Yeah, he has to be one of those options.
Absolutely in the play here.
He's a freak athlete.
Because we don't know what they right. And we don't know what they saw behind closed doors when they talked to him. So you know, it's hard to know what picture these teams actually have of this guy. There's a lot of really vagueness around his character and stuff out there, and it's hard to know what's like a pump campaign to try to get him to fall, you know, and what's real.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, my biggest problem with him is, well, some of the hustle on like the backside or something like that, where you don't always see it 100% of the time, but also just him in the run game doesn't instill confidence in me that this guy should be a number two overall pick, because I think I have some concern there. How he can, now, where his eliteness is would be in the pass game, and you know, in today's NFL, you need an elite pass rusher. Some of the Lions have lacked for a long time. And he could be that.
Yeah. Could,
but
yeah,
it's not for certain. And with a bad run game, I just don't
know. He kind of reminds me of Nick Fairley, like a guy with a lot of good intangibles that maybe didn't always have the best work ethic.
Interesting.
And that kind of worked out. I mean, that's not a one to one comparison, but just like work ethic wise.
It was about to until Sue rolled him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But you know what, though, Z, the thing is, you're right, though. There's another on the other side of that. Really, the same problem with his run game is the same problem with his pass game is the guy is actually pretty raw as a prospect. He flashes super elite traits. But like one of the knocks on him I've seen is that his inability to coordinate consistently his hands and his feet. Like he has some fundamental issues that seem coachable, though. Like that's the thing. Like he has some fundamental issues in his game. There's a reason why his stats were never, you know, in the double digit sackers and stuff. So, I mean, it's a question of what the coaches and what they think of these guys who really get a close up look, but he shows elite skills, but there's a lot of question marks. So I kind of agree with you.
I'm going to tell you a guy I like and who I'd probably rather see at number two. And he shot up draft boards like crazy. Trayvon Walker.
Yeah.
Yes.
6'5", 272, RAS score of 9.99, like same as Myles Garrett. So,
yeah, right.
Some really big comparisons. Yeah. I mean, 4.5, 140 at 272.
Ridiculous.
1.54, 10 yard split, elite. 6.893 cone drill. So, I mean, this guy blew everybody away at the combine. You know, had the stats to back it up in college. The Georgia D line.
Yeah.
Another trait of his that seems to keep going unnoticed, because at least I never see it get brought up, because everyone obsesses over length and, you know, and Hutchinson's short arms. Well, and they all go about Thibodeau's, and he's got, I think, 80 inch arms. Well, this guy's got 84 inch wingspan. He's an absolute freak.
He is. Yeah. And he's big too. 6'5", 275. Wow. I mean,
if I had to pick over him or Thibodeau, I would pick Walker right now.
Agree.
Same here.
More than happy.
That's why I'm feeling more comfortable about this position now, you know, with Walker here. Because if we don't get Hutchinson, I have zero problem taking Trayvon Walker. It'd be great. It'd be a great pick, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you guys see Dave Perkett had Jermaine Johnson?
That's a weird pick.
A two?
That seems like a stretch. That's the only place I've seen that. I mean, well, I think part of his reason was because they worked with him at the Senior Bowl and they thought they liked him, but
yeah,
I don't think a two.
6'4", 254. He had a really good Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe if they trade back to 5 or 6.
Yeah, 4 or 5, 840.
Right, if you traded back and got him, like, yeah, you're saying 5 or 6, Connor. I don't know, maybe 8 or 9, 10. I don't know. I absolutely have no problem.
Yeah. Him.
So I don't have a problem if they pull the trigger on him. Honestly, he shows all the elite traits of what we want. He's 6'5", 254, ran a 4.58. Here's, like, I'm just saying, like, I know we pride ourselves a little bit on our ability to assess talent to some extent, but there's all this national hype and it's hard not to get caught up in all these, you know, rumors and the common wisdoms, but like if the Lions are looking at all these guys and they have scouts, you know, looking at these guys in depth, and a guy who has all the traits you want is there, but no one in the mainstream notices him as being worthy of that spot, I don't know, I just feel like that doesn't necessarily rule him out. It's not like he's not highly rated either, he just isn't necessarily seen as right there at the top five.
I just think he lacks the explosiveness a little bit to be worthy of the top.
Do you know what his 10-yard split was by any chance? Because his 40 was pretty
159. His vertical is 32 inches, which is
So he scored in the elite on his 10-yard split, though. That's elite.
Yeah. Whatever they end up doing here, I know you could probably get a guy late in later rounds. I would like to get an elite guy in the first round at this position. I think they should get at one of these guys.
Oh, totally agree.
Yeah.
It can change your defense. I mean, we watched Sue for years, and having a freak like that in your D-line is just so huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does that bring up Jordan Davis then? A perfect segue there, Connor, I think, for that question.
Talk about
Well, and again, we're going to Georgia D-lineman here. There's two, Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt. And I've actually seen Devontae Wyatt a little higher on some a lot of people's boards than Jordan Davis, because Jordan Davis is like seen as an elite run stopper. Like, think of Snacks Harrison, but better probably. A guy that's going to stop the run no matter what, but maybe not get after the passer too well. But Wyatt, he can stop the run, maybe not at that quite elite level like Davis, but he gets after the passer much more effectively, at least in college.
Yeah, the big dude, 6'5", 340.
Wyatt? Yeah.
Wyatt's not 340, is he?
No, Wyatt's 6'2", 307, I'm showing.
6'2", 304, I have. So.
Jordan Davis is huge, 6'6".
Oh, I thought you said Jordan Davis.
Jordan Davis, 360. Sorry, I was on the wrong guy. He's
360.
Oh, okay. I had him at 341 on the chart. Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Big man.
It is 341.
And you know,
NFL.com. 6'6", 341.
If Jordan Davis can fall to the late first,
God.
Well, I don't see it happening, but that'd be a dream.
Yeah.
Because the Lions, God only knows, they need a run-stopping D-tackle, and that would be the pinnacle.
Would you take Wyatt? Would you be okay if they pull a trigger on Wyatt at two?
No.
Yeah. Seems like a bit of a stretch.
I haven't actually watched the guy's film yet, but, I mean, just to say, like, the guy is listed at 6'3", 304, and ran a 4.77. I'm just saying, that's freakish. That's like getting into like Aaron Donald physically freakish territory.
Oh, yeah, 1.6, 10-yard split, too. So, I mean, I've heard shades of Aaron Donald in his game, but, man, it's just hard to compare.
Yeah, I know.
The best tackle of all time to a prospect coming in.
Some of these guys, though, I mean, the measurables are awesome, but you got to look at the film on these guys, because like some of these guys, like Deion Jordan, who the Dolphins took a couple years ago, looked like an Adonis, man. The guy was like so chiseled and strong, but he sucked in the NFL.
Yeah, can't get off blocks.
Just certain guys.
You're right.
Another guy I like is George Karlaftis from Purdue.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That guy's a tough dude. He's got a good motor. And he's been pretty consistently, playing well. But I don't know, at two.
Not at two.
Maybe later in the
round.
No,
not at two.
No.
I just wondered if a couple of these guys might fall. And what would you guys think if we took, like, say we took Hutchinson or Walker with the second pick, and then one of these guys falls at 32? One of these
Jermaine
tackles.
Johnson.
Do we go end tackle? Would we do that?
Oh, easy.
I don't think anybody.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. That'd work out.
Yeah,
you need to build, especially we saw last year, Lions were building through the trenches. I can see them continuing that this year. That'd be a lot of young
blood and talent. Oof.
Yeah.
Meaty boys in the middle.
It'll make Anzalone have a chance to actually being effective, too.
Well, that can only be helped so much.
Well, a good defensive line can keep the offensive line off the linebackers, and that could help them. So.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Give the linebackers a little less to do out there. They don't have to concentrate on so many things. Right. That's been taken.
Yeah.
Care.
I think we should note, too, the Lions said they're going to be switching more to a 4-3 concept this year defensively.
I'm a little bummed by that, but
I would not be surprised if the Lions do go for a couple, DNs in this era, a DN and a D tackle. A guy I wanted to point out that I like better than. Karlaftis actually is Boye Mafi out of Minnesota.
I've seen
him drafted to Lions on that second first round pick for us. 4.53, 40-yard dash, 6 foot three and a half, 260. So a little bit on the lighter side, but man,
well, he's a linebacker, isn't he? Boye Mafi.
He's an edge guy. So he'll be a guy that's putting his hand in the ground.
Reminds me of Cliff Averill a little bit in those size speed metrics.
Oh yeah. The guy that's going to get after it, and the guy that Todd McShay really likes. That's where I first heard his name, because he rocketed up his board recently. Got a better look at him, and this is a guy that could definitely get after it. I would be ecstatic if we could get him in the late first round too.
Yeah, you know, I know we said this is a need, but I think, and I would be perfectly fine if we double dipped at D line in any way, but I don't necessarily think, I think it's a need that we want someone elite to upgrade at least one elite guy, because I think we actually aren't like cupboard bare by any means on the D line. I feel pretty good about a lot of the guys we have already on the roster, and I think we just need that game breaker. So like I personally think early is when we want to address edge rusher, if we're going to address it at all in this draft, because I think we got enough talent on this roster already that we're not going to necessarily upgrade it with the fourth round pick.
If the Lions go Hamilton at two, are the Lions definitely getting an edge rusher in the second pick?
I mean, ideally.
They better not go Hamilton at two. Suck.
I know.
That'd be so Hamilton stupid. Seems to fall down the draft.
Here's a fun one I've seen. How about Drake London, guys?
No.
WalterFootball.com. No. Both of their mock drafts now have us taking them at two.
I told you,
like,
those guys are a joke.
You love Walter Football. That's terrible stuff.
They're a decent resource of information.
They're good for putting names on a board. That's
hey, like, they've called a lot of stuff right over the years. I knock them all you want, and sometimes I disagree with them, but they've had some good stuff over the years. They just have too many ads. They've that website's
very one of their many problems.
Yeah, but Rud Doug, I kind of do agree with you. If they need like one game breaker on the defensive line on the edge, would be awesome. And then the rest is, you know, wouldn't necessarily do that the first round.
Yeah, we have good guys. We got the Aquaras.
We don't know where we're getting out of Romeo after his injury.
That's true, but. Do we still have a?
I wouldn't call Julian.
What's his name from Clemson?
Austin Bryant. Yeah,
Austin Bryant.
Bryant and
did he come back?
That's what I'm asking.
As I know he's probably still his last year of his rookie contract, I would think.
We got some guys. I'm just saying we have some talent. Oh, Charles Harris, of course. I'm just saying we got some good talent. We're not bare there, so we need a game breaker more than anything. That's where I'd put it as an absolute need.
It's something we've been missing for a while now.
A long time.
Yeah, since Ansa. Really?
Yeah. Even then, he was
always
hurt. But, man. We'll have to keep looking in Austin Bryant to confirm if he's been there. I thought he was, but I need to confirm it to make sure. But anyways, just a few other D linemen names to throw out there, I think, are interesting. Majai Sanders out of Cincinnati, 6'5", 228. So obviously on the lighter side, but this is an edge guy. Super quick off the edge. Just a name I wanted to throw out there. Maybe like as a third-round prospect. He'll probably be gone by then. But, I mean, is there any other top-tiered ones that we want to talk about before maybe getting into the middle to low-tier, like steals, maybe, that we can target?
I don't know about exactly what tier they are, but just I got to mention them because they put up such freakish combines. Sam Williams out of Mississippi ran a 4.46 at 6'4", 241 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just freakish. and then the other kid... out of Virginia Tech, Amare Barno ran a 4.36 at 6'5", 246 pounds. I'm just saying, those are some freaky
speed,
things worth taking note of. But, like, you know, maybe like third round, sort of how Cliff Averill fell to us, you know, something like that. But, yeah, that's kind of more what you're talking about transitioning to. So,
yeah, no, exactly.
But those numbers, freaky.
Yeah, the Sam Williams is interesting. Well, I think he'll be a late pick, but somebody note, you know, he has a high RAS score. If we're talking about late steals, well, I'll get to that, I guess. I'll just talk about it now. Thomas Booker out of Stanford, 986 RAS score. So really high up there, but also really low on like people's draft boards. But 168, 10 yard split, 495, 40 yard dash. He's 300 pounds, 6 foot three. So 7.3 yard cone drill. This is a D tackle out of Stanford. So that's a D tackle putting up those numbers. Not super productive in college, hence why you would see him fall this late. But when you got a guy with that much athletic ability, if he falls in the sixth or seventh round, I am all for taking it because
heck yeah,
you can't teach some of that stuff no matter what you do. So hopefully you can just coach him up. That's the best you can do.
I got another kid to add, Big Z.
Go
this,
for it.
I watched his combine. I liked how he moved. This kid out of Connecticut. Travis Jones, 6'4", 325, ran a really good 4.92 40 at that weight. You know, not as freakish as Davis, obviously, but this dude looks like an absolute, like, brick shithouse.
Yeah.
Real well built. Doesn't look, you know, he's not, like, fat. He looks like he's just going to be an absolute run stuffer with some upside in the pass game.
And he comes from the best D1 program in the country, UConn football.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I can't remember. UConn and UMass, when they've played each other the past couple of years, it's like been like the toilet bowl, all toilet bowls, because they've been just two horrendous programs. But I think UConn won that game this year. Either way, horrible, horrible program. I think Jim Mora is going there now, so maybe he can turn it around. But either way, this guy was the lone bright spot on that team. Big space eating nose tackle. Yeah. Rack up 25 pressures this year for UConn. And had 21 individual like run stops. So pretty good when you're playing on that bad of a team. And also had a really good Senior Bowl week by all accounts. So he's rising up. He'll probably be a second round draft pick by all indications on like
right.
big boards. That's where I'd see him go.
I don't necessarily seen that as a huge need, a tackle like him though, between Penasini and Aleem McNeil.
Ugh. Tennessee. I'm just saying, still like, are you guys high on him? I'm not as high, I don't think.
On who?
Penasini?
Yeah.
I still like Penasini, okay.
As a run stuffer who sometimes surprises me in the pass game, I like him. As a rotational nose.
Are you surprised that he gets to the quarterback? Is that what you mean? Because yeah, that would surprise me.
Why are you hating on him? He does, though.
He does.
I haven't really been a big fan of his. I think he's, or at least I think you guys have, like, overrated him too much, in my opinion.
See, the thing is, I was against him when we drafted him because he was completely like he looked like he was super slow in college. But every time I watch him, he's incredibly stout. He doesn't get pushed backwards, and occasionally he breaks into the backfield and surprises me.
He's not a starting D tackle, that's for certain. He's at best a decent
rotational
D tackle.
He's a nose tackle. Specifically,
yeah, he's
which well, he's if we're transitioning to 4-3, maybe we don't need him.
Yeah, well, here's my late rounder. This is just like a special teams guy, maybe Zach Van Valkenburg.
Yeah, good name.
Great name,
yeah.
Top name draft.
He plays for Iowa, and he's from Zeeland, Michigan, so he'd be a local guy for Western Michigan people. So there you go. But I don't think
he'll need a wide jersey to put that name on it.
Just another D tackle name that's kind of in that Travis Jones range, although he's a much different type of D tackle. His name's Logan Hall out of Houston, 6 foot six, 260. Yeah. This guy would be a three technique. I said he came from Houston, right? But kind of more of a frame for an edge defender, but so he can be kind of a rotation, like you can move him outside, inside. But
at 360?
260. 260. He's on the lighter side here. He's going to add some weight if he goes to the NFL. But he actually graded out really well in PFF, like run grades. PFF does college too. A guy to look at least, if he's there in the third round. I will say, and I would not take him in the second round where we are currently picking. It would be have to be
that was actually going to be my that was actually going to be my mid round pick too. There, Z.
Oh, I'm sorry, UJ.
No, that's okay, man.
Anything else to add about Logan Hall?
No, not really. I just kind of liked him. You gave a lot of good reasons there, so I go with it with what you said.
All right,
good.
Should
we get Tua Tagovailoa's brother. He's in it.
He's a D lineman?
Out of Notre Dame. Myron Tagovailoa Amosa.
Is that his brother?
6'2". He's 6'2", 270.
Is that Tua's brother?
Ran a 4.8. I believe so.
I know Tua's brother was a quarterback in Maryland, but I don't know about a D lineman at Notre Dame.
Yeah, you made that up.
Well, I could make it up. I don't know.
Tagovailoa, that name's like Smith in Hawaii.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
What about him, though, Rodug? Are you just looking at the last name?
No, well, he's a Notre Dame kid. He was pretty good for us, and he put up decent numbers at the combine as well at 275 pounds. Or 270 pounds, ran a 4.8. Nothing super impressive, but as a middle of the draft kind of guy who could, you know, bring some good attitude to the D line.
Yeah. No, for sure. All right. So I think we've gotten through all the names that we wanted to get through. I mean, did you guys have any other names, prospects that you wanted to kind of get to here?
No, I think
I will be interested to see where Jermaine Johnson goes in this draft, because he seems like the biggest kind of wild card for me, like as high as he can go or as low as he can go. It'll be interesting to see.
Wait, who was that? I missed
Jermaine Johnson. He's the one that intrigues me about where he'll actually land, because I've seen vastly
different. He's got big ceiling.
Yeah. Him and, of course, the quarterbacks that we'll get to in a future podcast. But anyways. D-line, big need for the Lions. I think we all agree, especially an elite D-lineman. Will they go for it at number two? We'll see. Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Maybe.
I think a lot of us are hoping so. I think a lot.
Yeah. I think most of us are.
If they go Thibodeau, are you guys going to be be excited about the pick?
Well, I'll be excited in the sense that they believe in him.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
And he's a top-tier athlete, so yeah. I'd be excited.
I've seen enough of him to, if they believe in him as well, that I will be very excited.
Yeah. I would initially, though.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, right. Not the most exciting.
Well, since we've fallen in love with Trayvon Walker, it's kind of, whenever you fall in love with someone and then they don't pick him, then there's always that disappointment. But so far, we have to trust this staff and what they're doing until they prove us wrong. So,
and you guys are right. Our producer confirmed. Thank you to our producer, Kid Jay. Austin Bryant is on the last year of his rookie deal. So,
what are we going to do when we draft tight end at number two? We'll
point that out.
tight end. Yeah. No.
I think Harry Curry is how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. Kidding, of course. Kidding.
Yeah.
I
think
Trey McBride.
I think if that happened, Will Smith would run up on stage and slap the guy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I would only hope so.
We could use that for anything, right?
Nice Will Smith reference.
You did what?
Yeah.
Tell Goodell, keep that name out of your mouth. Only D lineman.
Oh my god, yeah, we could use that.
As always, we find a good place to stop the podcast.
Yeah, on that note.
On that note.
On that note.
Indeed. All right. So, man, we're getting to the D lineman now. So, I got to look up our next week one. But while I do that, I just want to point out Sideline Report. Thank you to them for hosting the podcast. They always do a great job. In that regard, our producer, Kid Jay, thank you so much.
Kid Jay.
Continues to crush it for us. Spotify, Apple, if you're getting your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. You can leave a review on Spotify, too. It's like a little stars thing. You just click on it. And we appreciate it. Any feedback you give us, appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Big Z, hold on. I just got a... For the record, for posterity, he is cousins with Tua. So,
oh, there you go.
A connection.
All right.
All right. Way to do the live research.
Oh, yeah. I'm on.
So Apple, Spotify, regular podcast, yep, download, review. And there's one thing I want to know, but I can't remember. Anyways, next week, next episode, we'll be breaking down linebacker.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some of our favorite linebacker
Another
prospects.
Big need.
Big.
I think a notable LSU linebacker might be hurt and be changing some thought. I'm just going to throw it out. Damone Clark is getting spinal fusion surgery, so he will be out the entire rookie year. So I don't know if that's your thing about Rudd Dogger. He said he might be out the whole year because Damone Clark definitely will be out the whole year. Ojabu might be out the whole year.
Oh, that might be who I was thinking of.
But we'll get into all that next week anyways. So linebacker, look forward to that. Then we have wide receivers, quarterback, then our final mock draft, and then the draft, baby.
Ooh.
And we'll
Did you mention defensive backs? Because I saw Kid J.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, man. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I am so sorry. I jumped the gun on linebacker. I apologize. Next episode is defensive backs, then linebacker, then wide receivers, quarterbacks.
Thank God for Kid J.
And then I just want to note, we're going to be hyping this up for the next month here. But another announcement on the podcast is that we will be doing a live stream during the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So we'll be on our YouTube page. We'll be live streaming. We'll be watching draft along with you guys and, looking for reactions. You know, the Lions, it's going to be a long night for Lions fans. They got the second pick and the last pick. So a lot in between to happen there. Will they trade out of that two pick? I don't know. We'll have a lot to talk about either way. So we're going to be live streaming it. And
that is kind of awesome. Yeah. It'll keep us engaged for the whole first round. We'll be, usually you get done if you're at the top of the draft and you're done and you're like, oh, well.
So follow us on our social media accounts, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, Twitter at Drinking Lions for more information about that live stream as we get closer to the draft. And just love to hear you guys' comments, on what you were thinking for the draft as well. And then, or just email us at drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. You can do that too. Otherwise, thank you everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We'll see you next week talking about defensive backs. Defensive backs.
Yeah.
But last but not least, as always, go,
go,
go.
Go.
A charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.